I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Once I like gauged on a price point, I was like, okay. It might not be for everyone, but my tribe will find me, you know?
You're listening to Side Hustle Pro, the podcast that teaches you to build and grow your side hustle from passion project to profitable business. And I'm your host, Nikayla Matthews Okome. So let's get started. Hey, 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 guys. Welcome, welcome back to the show. We are back this week with more guest interviews. That's right. I really hope you enjoyed the solos to kick off this year with our Side Hustle Pro Bootcamp. And I hope you're all getting started with your side hustle this year. And now let's get back to chatting with our guests. So today in the guest chair, we have Kanishia J. Sams. Kanishia is a nail artist and owner of Nails by Kanishia. Kanishia specializes in hand-painted luxury press-on nails and nail care. She is known for her abstract nail art, unique color palettes, and her passion for nail health. Kanishia immediately caught my attention when I came across her profile on Where Else? Instagram. But what really stood out to me is how this amazing nail artist had found a way to pivot and change her business model during a pandemic. After the pandemic forced her nail studio to close, Kanishia found another way to make a living. Today, Kanishia produces luxury press-on nails in a variety of options, including mystery sets. If you don't know your measurements, she even offers a sizing kit for you to determine your custom fit before placing your first order. Genius! She has been featured in numerous magazines, including Glamour and Cosmopolitan. She's collaborated with brands like Sally Hansen and Facebook, and she was even named one of Nail Pro Magazine's 30 Under 30. Let's go ahead and chat with Kanishia. So, first things first, give us a little background on Kanishia. Who are you and what do you do?
I am a mother, a wife. I am a nail artist based out of Sacramento. I focus on nail art and nail care. And I recently started doing press-ons for my business.
And not just any press-ons, the bomb press-ons, but we're going to, the amazing designs that, you know, as soon as you come across them, you're like, wait, who is the person behind this? So
thank you so much.
Oh, I mean, I'm just telling the truth. So I want to know how someone goes from studying criminology in college to being a nail artist. Walk us through your journey and your career path a little bit.
Oh man, it was crazy. Now that I think back at it, like I was in college and I would just paint my nails like all the time. Like me and my husband, we would get out of class and then I would be like, take me to Sally's. And I would be getting like all types of nail polish all the time. And I'd just be painting my nails all the time. And then I started practicing. And like my sisters and everyone's like, you're getting good. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, this is just something fun I like to do. And then my husband was like, babe, you're really good. Like, you should look into nail school. And I'm like, nail school? Like, I go to college. Like, I can't go to nail school. And so I was like, you know, he was like, just look it up. And so I looked it up and they had night classes. So I could do, this was like at the end of the semester, so I could make my new semester. So I decided like, okay, I'm going to do this. Like, I'm just going to go for it. So I signed up for night classes and I was still going to the university during the day. So I did both of them at the same time. And that was wild, but it was like the best decision ever. It was mayhem.
So what was that like going to nail school? I mean, were you all of a sudden like, I need to change my whole life plan?
Like, seriously, everyone was like questioning me. They're like, what are you doing? And I'm like, yo, I'm just going where this leads me. It's just really interesting. I was like, you know what? Like, I'm still doing college during the day and then I'll do nail school at night and we'll just figure it out. Like, I was like, I wanted to be a detective or a counselor. And then I'm like, dude, I don't know how this is going to work. But I just kept getting like so pulled by like the passion of like nail art and like nails. Like, I still was interested in criminology and I finished my degree, but I was like, I really love nails. Like, this is crazy. And my grandma was like, okay, baby, as long as you finish, like, we'll figure it out then. But yeah, go ahead. Everyone thought I was nuts though.
And what happened when you did finish? You know, you're at this fork in the road now, you graduate. Did you move immediately into nails or did you actually pursue criminology work?
You know, it's so funny. So I graduated college in 2016 and I had finished nail school a little bit earlier before that. And me and my husband found out we were pregnant and I was like, yo, like, what does this mean for like everything? So my husband got a job that moved us from our hometown to about 300 miles away. So I like literally could do anything at that point. Like, I just had finished college in nail school. And at this time, like, our son, he was born, he was about 6 months old. And I was like, yo, if I don't just try to go for it, I'm never gonna do it. Like, let me try to find a salon to boof rent at. And then if it doesn't work, I guess I would try to go get a state job.
Oh, I can't even imagine. Fight, you know, knowing what I know now as a parent.
Yes. And it's so crazy because my son was literally so young. Like, I was still in college when I had him. I had him my last semester of school. So I literally was interning and still finishing my last semester up. And I was still like doing like my sister's and my friend's nails. And I was just like, what am I doing? And my son was so young. And like, I went back to school like after I had him 17 days later.
What?
So it was like, and yes, and I had a cesarean, but it was just
what?
Like, yo, you started this.
Grandma coming in finish. Handy? Like, what? Where did you?
Literally, my grandma, like, literally was like everything. My big mom, she was like, okay, baby, we got this. Like, and my husband, like, actually, he was like, okay, you got to finish this out. So like, he went to work in like part time, and it was just like really me and him, and my mother in law would come over at nighttime and watch the baby. But literally, it was me and him switching out schedules, like. It was madness.
Wow.
Now I look back and I'm just like, how did I do that?
That's what I want to ask you. How did you do that? You know, tell us about that first booth inside of a nail salon. Did you immediately take to it? Were you happy with that decision?
It's so crazy because it wasn't even a nail salon. It was a esthetician like beauty lash lounge. So we had just moved to Sacramento and I was just like, I already knew with my style of nail art, I liked working alone and I liked being my own boss. And I knew that I wanted my own studio or my own set hours because my son was still so young and I wanted to like make sure that I was following my dream, but I wanted to make sure that I wouldn't miss so much of his baby moments. So I decided to booth rent in a esthetician salon, and that was wild. That was like my first time like going out and doing anything by myself. Most people will go right into working in a nail salon, but I just knew how I was in like traditional nail salons. They don't look like people like me, to be honest. And when I was in nail school, a lot of people, one of the instructors told me, she was like, yo, your nail art, no one's going to pay for that. Nobody wants that. Like, the future is French tips. Like, that's where you get your money at.
The future is French tips.
Yes. And I was like, I know that people love this. Like, I love it. And my clients loved it. My siblings loved it. And I was like, no, that's not true. So I went straight in boofering, and I wouldn't necessarily recommend that for everybody. I just had faith, like, this has got to work out. So I started boofering at a salon, and literally, like, I didn't have no clientele. Mind you, I just moved into a new city. So I boofered with no clients.
How did you start to pick up clients? I mean, let me just clarify that your style of nail art, it is unique. It's vibrant, you know? So if you're in a salon where people really are just coming to get, like, you know, pink or white standard nude nails all the time for work, how do you start to build that clientele?
It was crazy because of the area I was in is pretty prestigious. Like, I didn't know, like, the map of the new city that we're working in. Like, I didn't know, but I was just like, I looked on Craigslist and that was available and it looked like nice. The salon looks nice. And I was like, cool. But when I got in there, I noticed, like you said, these were like working women, and a lot of them like were like, oh, pink, blue. But I was just like, yo. So I announced on my Instagram, like, you guys, I'm moving to Sacramento. Like, you know, hit me up for an appointment. And so, like, for the salon, I think I got like 3 clients from them, but like literally it was like me Instagramming. And if I wasn't working, if I didn't actually have a client, I was in there practicing nail art. And like, I remember the first time I got my first client, it was on me and my husband's anniversary. And we were broke, okay? Like, we were broke. I was like, I'm taking this appointment. So, like, I think I made like $50 from my first appointment. I was so proud. And like, we turned around and like bought dinner and gas for our like anniversary.
And then it took off?
It took off. It like slowly started. Like, people were like, I could have easily been like, you know what? This clientele wants one colors, and I could have just like pump them out. But that just wasn't what I went into it for. Like, I knew that I wanted to do my type of nail art. And so like referrals started to come in, and like people were like, I seen this on Instagram, and my friend says you do her nails, and it slowly started to trickle in.
Were there any specific steps you took on Instagram, or you started to notice like specific types of content or posts that would do better and really help to promote your work and bring in new clients?
You know, what's so funny? Like, I just showed like my nail mail, what I was bringing in. I would show a little bit about my process, and I would just like post like nail art samples, like constantly, even though I wasn't working on clients and like had basically nothing to post besides my own hands. I was just like, let me just keep on creating, like in this waiting time, continue to create. Like, people love to see your steps. They love to see like, oh, what you're bringing in, or like your trial and your errors. So I was pretty transparent. And I was just like, you know, you guys can book with me and you can get this look. And a lot of clients, I noticed like the styles I would do on my own hands, they were like, oh, I like that. I'm like, okay, let's do that then.
You're so right about people loving to see the steps. It makes you like root for the person, but also it makes you realize that I can do this too, in a way of not necessarily, I'm not a nail artist, but like, I too can start something, you know, like,
yeah.
Look at how she's doing it one step at a time, laying one brick at a time. So thank you for showing that. Speaking of laying one brick at a time, how long were you booth renting before you decided to create your own spot?
So it's crazy. I was booth renting at 2 different salons before I got my nail studio, which is like basically a room that I pay monthly on, but it was like my room. So before that, I literally was like in an open space, like working in basically what you would call like the, like when you come into a salon, they greet you. I forgot what that spot is called, but I was working in like open spaces, like around everyone. And that's not ideally what I wanted, but I knew like, I'm going to have to start somewhere. It can't just be like exactly what I want. And that taught me like a lot of like what I do like and what kind of vibe and energy I wanted for my space. So I think I worked booth renting for about 2 years before I got a nail studio. And that was amazing. It was like my other studios, I didn't have walls. I finally had a walls and door, and it was amazing. And I created the ambiance I wanted. And it really, like, my clients would come in, they're like, oh, I smell the essential oils. And she got the Erykah Badu playing. Like, they felt comfortable. Yes. And I'm just like, I wouldn't switch that up. I'm just like, this is my vibe. And I hope that it attracts the people that want to see me.
What other steps did you take? You know, now that you have your own studio, at this point, did you formalize your business by incorporating it, or just, you know, officially make yourself a business?
So you go through a process of, like, state board, you get establishment license, you get a tax, a business tax license, you pay your yearly fees as a manicurist, and, you know, you get your CPA, like your tax person. So you go through those little steps, you get your insurance for your room. But at the same time, I was in a studio building with other people who are running their businesses. So next to me, I had estheticians that were working in their studios also. So it was like a shared space, but everyone had their own room.
Yeah, I've been to a space like that before. And by the way, I think that business model is so smart.
Super smart.
Super smart. By the way, everyone, you have to be licensed. And that's what you should look for when you're going to these new offices.
Very important.
What was that investment like as, you know, a young mom going into this? At this point, was this something where it was easy peasy to pay for, or did it require serious saving? Like, can you tell us, like, ballpark, what was that investment like and how did you prepare for it?
The investment was steep in a sense of, like me and my husband were in college. We were broke college students when we decided, like, okay, go to nail school, Kinesia. So my husband actually, like, I don't tell everyone to do this because I'm not a person about getting into debt for your passion. But my husband put my nail school, like, half of it on his credit card. And I was like, oh, man, like, it's official. So we got to do this. And
that's real, though. That is real. Thank you for sharing that. We're not giving financial advice on this podcast, everyone. Just disclaimer here.
Exactly. Okay? Exactly.
All we're doing is sharing what people did. Okay. All right.
Exactly. So it was expensive because of the type of nail art and the supplies. Like, you have to make a major investment in yourself to kind of start out. Like, in nail school, they don't give you any of these things. It's basically like they're teaching you sanitation and, like, step by step, like, how to keep your client safe, basically. But they're not teaching you nail art or any of that stuff. I picked up that along the way. So a lot of it was, like, investing in the best materials and stuff. So I'm pretty sure, like, it was in the thousands, like, lease up to 7,000 of just, like, you would get one thing and you get the lamp and then you get, like, the product line, and then you got to start getting buffers and files, like, things that you constantly have to do, maybe taking classes. But a lot of things I learned on my own just through, like, practicing. But a lot of it was, like, I did not know previously to going into, like, nails that it could be so expensive. Like, people think it's just polish and it's like, oh my God, it's 5 million items.
So let's talk about those early days of being a business owner. How did you balance the juggle of personal life with being in business for yourself and the ebbs and flows of business?
It was hard. I'm not going to lie. Like, it was really hard trying to figure out, like, my space and my place in this industry at first, you know, because it was like I just moved to a new city and I was working at, like, in our new city, we didn't have much family. It was just, like, my uncle here. So it was just, like, a lot of just, like, growing pains, really, to be honest. And, like, the first 2 years of me, like, booth renting, I wasn't necessarily, like, super taking care of myself. Like, when you're in the salon space, you're like, go, go, go. And your client, you're, like, starting out. So you take whatever, in a sense, you know, your schedule's, like, hectic. So I would work, like, evenings when my husband would get off work because we didn't have childcare. So it was just, like, whenever, like, he would work during the day and I would work in the evenings at night. So I missed a lot of, like, Saturday, like, Sunday type situations, a lot of dinners because we had opposite schedules. So it was, like, really hard. And then it got to a point where I was like, I have to establish a set schedule and, like, boundaries just for mental health purposes and just, like, sanity. Like, it's hard to separate your business and your personal life when they're very intertwined like that. But it was so necessary. And once I did that, I felt like I began to, like, really enjoy it a lot more. I feel like when you're starting out, you're just like, okay, I've invested in this. I have Blueprint. I have to make income. So you like really, you allow your clients to text you. You allow clients to DM you. And it was just like so many, I need this done on this day. Can you get me in? And when you don't have those set rules, in a sense, when you're very flexible, things get blurred, you know what I mean? And a lot of people don't take the beauty industry serious as like a serious career. So they're like, oh, you know, you're just gonna do my nails. But it's like, this is my livelihood and this is my career and this is how I provide for my family. So these are set rules. These are set business hours. These are set times that I'm working. But I had to learn that through going through the process of being like run down.
Oh, that is such a good topic that you bring up. I know that we all struggle with this because let's face it, DMs are convenient and easy at times, or like that might be how someone comes across your business. So it's like, wait, but you're on Instagram. I can just send you a message. But then it's also like, no.
Yes. And it's
like, definitely it can like, begin the conversation, but then we have to move it. We have to move it on over because
we got to be able to move it to email. And it's very hard because I'm super friendly and like, I love engaging with people and I love conversation. But then at a certain point, it's like, okay, well, you're running a business. So let's like, I've had a lot of people find me in DM. I'm like, okay, you can go head over to my booking site or you can send me an email and we can schedule it out there. That way everything's in one place.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors, and when we keep them bottled up, it affects us negatively. I have found that therapy has been a safe space to get things off my chest. I had my daughter last August, and by January, I hit up my therapist like, let's go ahead and set up this monthly session. Therapy has been so helpful for me in setting boundaries, and it just empowers me to be the best version of myself. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, this is your sign to go ahead and do it and give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/HustlePro today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/HustlePro. Once business began to pick up, what were some of the challenges of that good problem of having demand and juggling that way?
It's so funny because when I started to actually like pick up, it was wild. Like my clients would book out months in advance and it was insane. Like I couldn't take any new clients. Like my wait list was past like capacity. I couldn't take anyone else. And because like my son is still super young and like I wanted to make sure that I wasn't spending too much time in the salon because I'm like, yo, like I do have a life besides this, you know, but it was wild. And then I was like, thank God, I'm so grateful. This is finally like starting to pay off. I can finally like not be in the negative in a sense, because it was expensive at first. I remember I would just like make money to pay booth rent and like not pay myself really. And so when it did start to take off, like I like began to like, my mindset started to shift, like work smarter, not harder. And so set like business hours and certain times that you're available, and maybe like don't have your schedule so available open, because I had clients booking months, a year out. I couldn't plan anything. So like my friend's like, you want to go to brunch? Oh, I'm working already. Like, how do you know you're working in 3 months? Well, someone booked on that day. So I had to start to learn like, okay, maybe just book a month in advance and then I like take it from there.
Yes, yes. Because yeah, that is quite the like limitation factor, having things booked out so far in advance.
Mm-hmm.
Now, not everyone makes money when they first start out. What has been your experience with that as far as breaking even versus making a profit or versus being in the red?
Yes. So I would say like the first 2 years. So I've been licensed 5 years. So I would say like the first 2 years, like it was like I wasn't making much anything. I was in the negative. I like was not taking home a whole bunch. And I would say about the third year, I started to break even and profit a little bit. And then it started like the fourth year was like amazing. I was like, wow, this is actually my job. Like I'm actually making money. Like, oh my goodness. And obviously you want that to be your goal. You want your business to be profitable. But first is just labor of love at first. And then you're like, okay, like what are your expenses? What are your monthly takeaways? Like started having to write things down and plan it out. Because like at first you're just like, oh, all this money is mine. No, you have booth rent, you have insurance, you have like supplies you have to buy monthly. So that was quite the lesson learning that.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say it took me about 2.5 years to be profitable. And that's, a lot of people are not profitable in the first 2-3 years.
Now, is there anything that you think you could have done to be profitable sooner, knowing what you know now?
I think what it is with the beauty industry is so different. Like, I wish I had a perfect answer for this, but I don't. I felt like it really was like learning your limit and like learning through trial and error. So like, there's so many things you can buy and they're like, okay, do you really need that? Are you going to use that? You know how trends are.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this is really hot right now. So let me buy that. And I'm like, okay, for example, chrome nails. So I invested a whole bunch of money in like chrome powders and I literally hated doing that. Like I hated doing that. And I'm like, I don't even like doing this service, but my clients are asking for it. It's pretty. And literally hated it. It was like, I'm pretty sure I invested like over $600 in chrome powders. I was buying all different types because I was like, I like to have all the variety. And I'm like, looking back, it's like, wait it out, sis, and see if you really like that. Like, not because everyone else is liking it. Do you want to provide that service? So like hone in on what type of services you actually want to provide and that align with what you want to do.
So now I want to touch on the pivot that you made because of COVID. I mean, yeah. Talk about a monkey wrench, right? A curveball.
Oh, man.
So how did COVID-19 affect your business model and what did you shift as a result of it?
Oh, man, everything shifted. Like, it was like, okay, everything's normal. You're taking clients to, you can't work anymore. You can't see people. The government has shut down personal services. And that was a trip. I was like, oh my God, because you're at the point where you're like, okay, I have my schedule. I see my clients. I know what I make monthly based off of, you know, just like numbers. And it went from like, oh no, you can't work. Like California shut down like for months. I think the first shutdown was like 3 or 4 months. And I was panicking. Because I was like, oh my goodness, like I still have studio rent, like my clients, like what am I going to do? So at this time, I still had like my nail care line, which is like cuticle oils and like hand care products. So that was like holding it down for a little bit, but that wasn't gonna pay everything. So like I was doing back in 2016, I was doing like nail samples, like basically like showcasing my art because I couldn't see clients. I was just like, okay, I still want to make sure that I'm like creating content and I'm still like painting and I'm still showing like my nail art. And people started to ask, they're like, are you selling press-ons? Like, are those press-ons? I was like, no, they're just like nail samples that I keep like for my nail art menu. And they're like, you should sell press-ons. And I was like, I don't really want to do that. We're going to like, the government's going to open back up and I see clients. little did I know that was not the case. And I was like, oh man. So like, I started to get so many inquiries about it. And I really, really pushed hard against doing it because it was something new. And it was a whole different business plan of what, like, I literally learned a whole different business. So it was insane. And I still had my studio open and I was still paying rent on it. And it was like a hard decision. Like, I had to make a decision. Like, you have to close your studio. You have to close your studio because it just, it's not making financial sense. You're still paying rent and you're not, you can't even work in it. And that was really hard because like I was telling you, this was the first time I had like walls and a roof. Like, it was like my little baby. So I was like, you know, this is hard, but I think it's necessary. So closed my studio and literally was like, okay, what's now, you know? And so I sold my first like press on like set and, something that I would do with my clients when I was seeing clients, I would do mystery manicures. So basically you come in and you don't know what you're getting. So like, I would just like vibe, like at that time I had established clientele. So I knew my clients like aesthetic and everything. So they would just like do whatever. So it was like basically
that's
a freestyle.
Fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Like all the women that were coming to me at my studio were women that are just getting off work. So they come in, they have the heels and their purse, their computer, like, and then it was just like a time to release. So I would be like, okay, girl, I got you. I know what I'm going to do. And they're like, go ahead. I don't want to make any more decisions. Like, you go ahead and do your thing. And so I was like, let me take that business model over to my press-ons, like a mystery set. And it started from there. And it was like, people were like, I really like that concept.
When you rolled it out, you just posted on Instagram. Had you determined a number of sets that you were going to sell, or were you just gauging the interest?
Yeah, at first I was gauging the interest. I was like, I'm going to do a limited amount because I'm thinking still, this is before I shut down my studio. This is probably like 3-4 months before I shut it down. And I was like, I'm still going back. So I'm just going to do this to hold me over, you know? And then shut down my studio. I was like, no, this is full time now. This is your thing. And people like loved it. They're like, when are you doing more? Like, where's your website? Like at this time I hadn't did a website yet. And I was like, there's a big interest in this. Like, it was so different because I'm like used to seeing clients like face to face. Like now I'm creating for a client across, you know, the states. And I'm like, you know, I don't know your aesthetic. I don't know your style, but you're really interested in what you see here. So that was different.
And then how did that first round go? How did you go about deciding on the price? Was it just like, this is what it would cost in the salon, or were you also factoring cost to ship and all of that?
At first I was like, okay, like you got to ship. And like for my press-ons, I was like, I want to make sure when you get your press-on set that you have everything you need to apply the nails. So I wanted to make sure you had your buffer, your file, glue, your nail tabs, your alcohol wipe, like all these things. That way you didn't, like when you opened your box, like you had a manicure set to go. So the first couple of rounds, like I was like, okay, well, I need this. Okay. So I'm a journal person. I write down like everything. So I'm like, okay, I need to start including this. Okay. You need to make an instruction list. You need to start making sample sizing kits. So it was like every set I was learning something new. And the first round, it went really well. And people were like, when are you going to drop more? I'm like, oh my goodness. And so like that led me to like creating my website. And I was like, okay, this is it. Like, this is a thing now. And because of my type of nail art, it's very unique and different. Like my clients were always used to like paying more because I just know like my nail art isn't for everyone, but I did know like the people that liked my nail art were going to find me. So I kind of priced it according to that. And the press-ons are reusable. So you're going to get multiple uses out of them. So you kind of factor into that. But once I like gauged on a price point, I was like, okay, it might not be for everyone, but my tribe will find me, you know?
Say that again. It might not be for everyone, but your tribe will find you.
Yes, it's so true. You know, I think in the beginning, a lot of people are like in the beauty industry, they're like, you know, they're pricing their stuff comparative to other people and not necessarily based on their talent and their skills and their education and their skill set. So that is exclusive to you. You can't really worry about what she's doing over here. Like, what are you offering your clients that's different from other people? And that's what, you know, you got to take that into account.
So in the beginning, you start selling and add this new angle to your business of having press-ons for sale with the thinking that you'll be able to open your studio again. But what happened as the months went by? How did you shift after that?
I was like, you know, I had to start thinking long term. Like, everybody is turning their business to e-commerce. Like, it has to be online. And once I started to see the success of that, I was like, you know, this might be the way to go, like directing sales online. So that way, while you're not able to be in the studio, your work can still reach multiple people and you don't even have to be present with them to create this for them. So that kind of started to shift my mindset. Like, you don't necessarily need a brick and mortar to produce. And mind you, it was just like a little corner out of my front room that I'm producing like these press-ons at, because I literally like had a studio, you know. It was insane, like moving all that back home. But it was just a point where I was like, you know, I have to, like, even though I don't want to leave, like the way thing, you know, making lemonade out of lemons. So that's what I started to do.
Was it easy to get rid of that studio as far as like financial commitments? At the same time, I'm sure it was a relief to have less overhead. Or was it a relief?
Yes. So it's so insane because like, I was doing both at the same time. So I was still selling press-ons and still like paying for my studio. And that was intense because I was like, I can't do both. Like, I literally was trying to do it all. And it was just like, it wasn't possible anymore. It was like stretching myself so thin and I wasn't going to be profitable because I was having so much overhead, like literally two entirely separate businesses. So once I let my studio go and I began to like, okay, you got to focus on this thing in front of you. It started to mellow out and I'm like, okay, cool. Like, it was all really trial and error. But once I let go of the studio, it was like a release in a sense, like, okay, you can focus on this now. And at least you don't have to pay for that overhead.
So has it been something where you can see this new business model replicating and then exceeding your studio income stream? Or is it something where you're still hoping to one day get back in studio?
So it's so complex because, you know, like you still as a nail artist, you like the reason why you love it so much is your clientele, like that connection, the people, like the actual thing. But there's benefits to like creating without having any like input from a client, I would say. And so like at first, like I told you, I was doing both. So I couldn't really see any profit from it. But then as I like started to just focus and hone in on this, I started to notice like there is a lot of overhead with creating press-ons and a lot of time and effort, but it can be profitable. It can be profitable based on like what road you decide to go on. So for me, I'm like, these are exclusive sets. So for my mystery sets, no set is alike. So you can price that at a different type of price point, because when that person get those nails, you're not going to see anyone else with those on. And so I was going and doing the mystery sets, and then some of like certain looks, people were like, we really like these. So I started to make like go-to looks. And these were like press-ons that you could buy anytime that were on my website. But they weren't mystery sets, but you can just like buy that certain look. So I still had the mystery look and the go-to look. And I was like, wow, this is actually like becoming profitable. And so I was like Oh, wow. So I just kept on going. I'm like, every day was like a new learning experience. Mm-hmm. It was just like so crazy because I'm like, I really used to see clients.
Right. We really used to see human beings like way more regularly.
We used to really see humans.
So if there's one thing you had to change about your business from, you know, when you were booth renting to now that you're providing exclusive press-ons, knowing what you know now, is there anything you would change as you were starting up in your business just to make life easier for yourself and business easier for yourself?
I think, I'm the type of person, I'm like, I think everything happened the way it was supposed to happen. Like, I think it happened to kind of teach me, like, you know, it taught me to let go and not to hold on to things that are no longer serving you, in a sense. We tend to hold on to things when we are scared of change. So I think I held on to my studio for a long time because I was scared of, like, what would I be without that studio? And I think, like, knowing, like, believing in myself, like, you're going to be fine. You're going to make lemonade. I think that would be like, let go and like, let go and let God.
Now, I didn't know I was about to get a word. But you're so right as far as it's been one of those things where, like, we literally have no other option but to adjust to change. So are we going to make it easy or hard on ourselves? Are we going to keep holding on and moping? Yes. Or are we going to get moving on this new normal?
Exactly.
And I'm really proud and inspired by how you pivoted. I was like, oh, this is so amazing. This is a great idea.
Thank you.
And of course, I had to reach out to have you in the guest chair and inspire others as well. So I hope everyone listening, no matter what your business is, I hope the wheels start turning for even if when the world opens up again, what online components you can have for your business. So now we're going to jump into the lightning round. You just answer the first thing that comes to mind. Are you ready?
Yes.
Number one, what is a resource other than Google that has helped you in your business that you can share with the Side Hustle Pro audience?
I would definitely say Instagram. Like, I know people have like mixed feelings about social media, but I definitely felt like social media helped my business in so many ways, and word of mouth. Those two things, like, when your work speaks for itself, people are going to learn about it. People are going to share about it, and they're going to authentically like tell their people like, oh, I like this. So I feel like word of mouth and letting Instagram and showing the behind the scenes like really helped.
Number two. What is a non-negotiable part of your morning or daily routine?
Tea time, journaling, meditation, prayer. Those things ground me and they help me like set the tension for my day.
Number three, who is a Black woman entrepreneur who is a mentor in your head and who motivates you?
I definitely would say like the owner of Pure Nova. They're a Black owned polish company and it's woman owned, and just seeing her like, you know, build her nail polish brand out and her salon and just seeing how she did it from the beginning, it's inspiring and amazing.
Number four, what is a personal trait you have that helps you significantly in your business?
Planning, like writing it down, writing it out, calendaring it. Those two things, like, they help so much.
And then finally, number five, what is your parting advice for Black women side hustlers and entrepreneurs who are afraid to bet on themselves?
Oh, man, that self-doubt will creep in. But you know what? Do it anyways. There are people who are less qualified doing what you want to do because they believed in their self. It's not going to be perfect. It's not going to be easy, but it will be worth it. Like, step at a time. And, you know, it's not going to all happen at once, but you got to show yourself grace and believe that you can do it. Like, if you see there's a need or a want for it, why not? It can be you. Just slow steps, slow progression. Write it down. Write it down.
Yes. And where can people connect with you after this episode?
People can connect with me via social media, Nails by Kenesha, and also on my website, nailsbykenesha.com.
Thank you so much for joining us in the guest chair and sharing your journey. And there you have it, you guys. Head over to sidehustlepro.co/episodes for all of the show notes from this episode, including the links and resources that Kenesha mentioned. Thanks for joining, and I will talk to you next week. Hey guys, thanks for listening to Side Hustle Pro. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts. It helps other side hustlers just like you to find the show. And if you want to hear more from me, you can follow me on Instagram at Side Hustle Pro. Plus, sign up for my 6-bullet Saturday newsletter at sidehustlepro.co/newsletter. When you sign up, you will receive weekly nuggets from me, including what I'm up to, personal lessons, and my business tip of the week. Again, that's sidehustlepro.co/newsletter to sign up. Talk to you soon.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Want truly hydrated skin? Meet Osea's body care breakthrough, Hyaluronic Body Serum. It's clinically proven to increase hydration by 161%. It's lightweight, fast-absorbing, and delivers 24 hours of hydration for silky smooth skin without any sticky afterfeel. Treat your skin to clean, vegan skincare from Osea. Get 10% off your first order with code SUMMER at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code SUMMER.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.